Part 2, Chapter 2, First Arrest. They apprehended Ted Bundy in a suburb of Salt Lake City called Granger on August 16, 1975. A Utah Highway Patrol officer noticed Ted driving in the early morning hours through a residential area. He fled away, speeding, when he saw the car. The officer observed the front passenger seat was removed and sat on the back seat of the Volkswagen. He searched the car. He found an ice pick, coil of rope, trash bags, handcuffs, a crowbar, a mask that had been made from pantyhose, a ski mask, and other items thought to be tools used for burglary. Bundy tried to explain that the ski mask was used when he went skiing. He claimed to have found the handcuffs in a dumpster, and the other items were just common everyday items. Detective Jerry Thompson recalled the car and description from the kidnapping of Durant in November of 1974, and his name from when Klepfer called the police in December of 1974. When they searched Bundy's apartment, police found a playbill showing the Viewmont High School play that Deborah Kent was kidnapped from and a guide to some Colorado ski resorts that had check marks by the Wildwood Inn. They didn't find anything of significance to incriminate him. They released him on his own recognizance. Ted told biographers that the investigators didn't see a Polaroid collection he had taken of his victims. He destroyed these when they released him. The police put Bundy on a 24-hour surveillance. Thompson and two more detectives flew to Seattle to talk with Klepfer. She informed the detectives that the year before Bundy moved to Utah, she had found items that she just didn't understand in Bundy's apartment at her house. She found a bag full of women's clothing, an Oriental knife that he kept in the glove compartment, surgical gloves, a meat cleaver that was never cooked with, a stolen plaster of Paris bag from some sort of pharmacy or medical supply unit, and a set of crutches. Bundy never had his own money, as was in debt, and Klepfer figured he had taken all of his valuables. She said one time that she asked about a new stereo and TV, and he warned her that if she said anything, that he would break her neck. She explained that Ted would get upset if she ever talked about cutting her hair. She wore her hair long and parted in the middle. She recalled waking during the night, and she found Bundy with a flashlight looking at her body under the covers. He had a taped lug wrench in her car for protection. She drove a Volkswagen Beetle as well, and he would sometimes borrow it. Detectives figured out that Bundy hadn't been with Klepfer when the Pacific Northwest victims had disappeared, as well as Naslund and Ott were kidnapped. Soon after, a Seattle homicide detective, Kathy McChesney, interviewed Klepfer. She learned about Stephanie Brooks and their brief engagement near Christmas of 1973. In September, a teenager in Midvale bought Bundy's Beetle. Utah police located the car and had it impounded. The FBI techs thoroughly examined the car, and there they found strands of hair that matched the ones found on the body of Karen Campbell. Also, they found strands of hair that were said to be Carol Durant's or Melissa Smith's. The strands of hair were painstakingly indistinguishable. FBI specialist Robert Neal made the conclusion that finding strands of hair in one vehicle that matched three separate victims who never met each other was a coincidence of mind-blowing rarity. Bundy was put in a lineup for Durant to identify on October 2nd, who immediately pointed him out as Officer Roseland. Many witnesses were about to pick him out of the lineup as the strange man who was lurking around the high school auditorium. They didn't have enough evidence to link him to Deborah Kent, but they had enough to charge him with attempted criminal assault and aggravated kidnapping in the Durant case. He was released on a $15,000 bail that his parents posted.